Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, Dr. John, talking to you from Pearl River on this beautiful day that the Lord has made. I hope you're having a blessed day. We're going to be reading from the Genesis Record by Henry Morris, a scientific and devotional commentary on the Book of Beginnings. This book is by the Institute of Creation Research. And we're going to begin, I'm going to begin reading on page 61, covering Genesis 1-9 to begin with. Genesis 1-9 and 10. And God said, let the water under the heaven be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and gathering together the waters called he seas. And God saw that it was good. The water under the firmament still constituted a shoreless ocean, in which probably all the material elements were randomly dissolved or suspended. On the third day of creation, a third act of division was accomplished by God. The light had been divided from the darkness on the first day. The waters above the firmament divided from the waters below the firmament on the second day. And now the dry land from the lower waters on the third day. Once again, the energizing agent was the word of God. Let the dry land appear. Tremendous chemical reactions got underway as dissolved elements precipitated and became and combined with others to form the vast complex of minerals and rocks making up the solid earth, its crust, its mantle, and its core. The materials so formed tended in general, though with many localized exceptions due to the complex and cataclysmic energies operating, to arrange themselves isostatically, with the heavier materials sinking and lighter materials floating, and with many substances still in suspension of solution or solution. Great earth movement also got underway in response to differential heating and other forces. Finally, surfaces of solid earth appeared above the waters, and an intricate network of channels and reservoirs opened up in the crust to receive the waters retreating off the rising continents. Some of these reservoirs were opened directly to the water descending from above. Others were formed as great subterranean chambers within the crust itself. All were interconnected by a complex network of tubes and waterways, so that in essence they were all gathered together into one place. Although in one place, the waters were assembled in numerous distinct basins, so that God called this gathering together of the waters seas, that is, in plural term. These were, of course, not the same as our present seas, since the antediluvian arrangement of continental and marine areas were completely changed at the time of the flood. Finally, these foundations of the earth, Psalm 102, verse 25, Job 38, verse 4, Zechariah 12, verse 1, Isaiah 48, verse 13, etc., had been perfectly laid, and God called the dry land earth. This name in Hebrew is Eretz, E-R-E-T-Z, is the same as used in Genesis 1:1 and verse 2, showing that the formless matter originally created in the same manner as used in the finally constituted solid ground. All of this accomplished during the first part of the third day of creation. Now, Genesis 1, 11 through 13. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit trees yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the third day. Not only had rocks and minerals been formed, but so had a blanket of fertile soil, sand, silt, clay, sized particles, and in an ideally graded mixture with abundant chemical nutrients and soil moisture. Then God spoke again, this time organizing certain of the chemical elements of the earth into tremendous complex systems, each with a marvelous informational program built into its chemical structure, which could henceforth specify the reproduction of other units like itself. There is no suggestion that these systems were living, at least not in the sense that they possessed any form of consciousness, but each did sense that they possessed any form, but each did have its seed in itself, and so had the ability of reproducing its kind. Three main orders of plant life are mentioned: grasses, herbs, and trees. Whether these classifications correspond to modern taxonomic nomenclature or not is irrelevant. The latter is man-made and entirely arbitrary, whereas these biblical divisions are obvious and natural. The three are intended to cover all types of plants. These are the most obvious comprehensive categories. The term grass is intended to include all spreading ground covering vegetation. Herbs includes all bushes and shrubs. Trees includes all large woody plants, including even fruit-bearing trees. It is significant that these plants were made not as seeds, but as full-grown plants whose seeds was in themselves. They thus had an appearance of age. The concept of creation of apparent age does not, of course, suggest a divine deception, but is a necessary accompaniment of genuine creation. The process operating in the creation week were not the processes of the present era, but were processes of creating and making, and are thus not commensurate with present processes at all. Adam was created as a full-grown man, the trees were created as full-grown trees, and the whole universe was made as a functioning entity, complete and fully developed right from the beginning. The apparent age that might be calculated in terms of present processes would undoubtedly be vastly different from the true age as revealed by the Creator. In verse 11 occurs the first mention of both seed and kind. Implanted in each created organism was a seed, programmed to enable the continuing replication of that type of organism. The modern understanding of the extreme complexities of the so-called DNA molecule and the genetic code contained in it has reinforced the biblical teaching of the stability of kinds. Each type of organism has its own unique structure of the DNA and can only specify the reproduction of that same kind. There is a tremendous amount of variational potential within each kind. facilitating the generation of distinct individuals and even of many varieties within the kind, but nevertheless precluding the evolution of new kinds, a great deal of horizontal variation is easily possible, but no vertical changes. It is significant that the phrase after his kind occurs 10 times in the first chapter of Genesis. Whatever precisely is meant by the term kind, the Hebrew word is min, M-I-N, it does indicate the limitations of variations. Each organism was to reproduce after its own kind, not after some other kind. Exactly what this corresponds to in terms of the modern Linnaean classification system is a matter to be decided by future research. It will probably be found eventually that the min, M-I-N, Hebrew, often is identical with the species, sometimes with the genus, and possibly once in a while with the family. Never is variation possible outside of the biological family. In any case, the evolutionary dogma that all living things are interrelated by common ancestry and descent is refuted by these biblical statements, as well as by all established scientific observations made to date. The permanence of the created kinds is further supported by 1 Corinthians 15, 38, and 39. But God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, and another of birds. The term kind is as applied to animals, as at least is somewhat amplified in Leviticus 11, 13 through 32. It should also be mentioned that the formation of plants, even in such complex forms as fruit trees, occurred before the creation of any form of animal life. This is quite logical, but it does flatly contradict the accepted evolutionary system, which has marine animal, both invertebrates and vertebrates, evolving hundreds of millions of years before the evolution of fruit trees and other higher plants. Furthermore, many plants require pollination by insects, but insects were not made until the sixth day of creation, which fact argues against the possibility that the days of creation could have been long ages. The idea of the theistic evolution is counter to the biblical record of creation in practically every passage. Then, for the third time, we read the phrase, God saw that it was good. This was the pronouncement after the work of bringing light to the earth, verse 4, after the work of dividing the waters and establishing land surfaces, verse 10, and now after the development of a plant cover for the land, verse 12. In the evening and the morning were the third day. The terms evening, Hebrew, Ereb, E-R-E-B, and morning, Hebrew, Boquet, B-O-Q-E-R, each occur more than 100 times in the Old Testament and always have the literal meaning, that is, the termination of the daily period of light and the termination of the daily period of darkness, respectively. Similarly, the occurrence of day modified by a numeral, that is, for example, third day, is a construction occurring more than 100 times in the Pentateuch alone, always with a literal meaning, even though it may challenge our mind to visualize the lands and sea and all the plants being formed in one literal day is exactly what the Bible says. We are not justified at all either in questioning God's power to do this or his veracity in telling us what he did. Well, that's all for today. God bless you. You can get in touch with me, WSMIN, WSM217@gmail.com. And again, the Institute Creation Research has equipped believers with evidence of the Bible accuracy and authority through scientific research, educational programs, and media presentations, all conducted within a thoroughly biblical framework. For more information, visit ICR's website at icr.org. God bless you.